Knockout.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rock.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, could two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best, we're best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of
the pad.
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait
that.
A minute. Wait.
To the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la, 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 what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop
in Harlem. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, Mem Lane, promo for all your memorabilia needs. We're going to change things up just a little bit this week because we have a very special guest joining us all the way from New York itself, the genius behind the WWE encyclopedias and a very good friend of ours personally and of the networks, Mr. Brian Shields.
Wow, what an intro. No pressure, huh? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to talk to you again.
Oh, we're so happy to have you back. And for those of you wondering why we have Brian back, other than the fact that he's awesome, he's here to talk to us tonight all about his fantastic presentation that he's put together on the history of WWE.
You know, it's one of those things where we've been doing this now about 3.5 years. Over the summer, I had the honor of going to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and their induction weekend. And giving this presentation there, weekend where they honored Nature Boy Ric Flair, Cowboy Bill Watts, Edge, Jumping Jim Brunzel, photojournalist and writer extraordinaire George Napolitano. So, you know, for me to be able to work with WWE and DK Publishing and to be able to do these events has really just been fantastic.
It sounds amazing, and that's so cool that you got to go to Iowa and do that. And I remember talking to you about that, and it sounded amazing when you got to do it here. Are you going to kind of do the same presentation? It's going to be, for those of you, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you, it's going to be in Farmingdale Library, which is in Long Island, New York, I think. I hope I got the geography right.
No. You totally did. Thank you. Anybody in the New York City, Long Island area that is a fan of WWE, old school, you know, wrestling, WWE, you know, I take the fans through a journey through time. And we do a decade-by-decade overview, thanks to multimedia, photos, video, and it's really just a lot of fun. And I do these every few months in various locations, and I always make sure that they're never the same. I'm very thankful to have a lot of supporters and fans that come to the events on a very regular basis. And it's funny, you know, updating the presentation, I'm reminded once again that WWE is 52 weeks a year of compelling television content with no off season. So, I mean, unless I somehow had this odd idea that I'm not going to update anything, I mean, for me, in order to do it correctly, it has to be different from the previous presentation.
Right, and so obviously you're changing little things here and there. How is this one going to be different from the one that you gave in Iowa? Is it just is it more up-to-date information? Are you talking about something a little bit different?
Well, from a current product standpoint, you know, there is going to be a little bit of a difference. You know, some of the champions are different than they were in July.
True.
And I add a lot of little things to the different decades. So for this one, you know, I talk about the managers even in the 1960s with your, you know, Wild Red Barry. In the 70s, you know, and a lot of fans don't know this, but in the mid to late 70s, you know, the WWE fans saw the WWE debuts of the likes of Nature Boy Ric Flair, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen. So that's in there.
And I love
the work of all of those competitors. And then in the 80s, you know, I talk about, and especially being on Long Island, you know, I like to talk about all of the great venues in the New York City area that people could go see the then WWF. So, you know, when people think of New York, they, you know, obviously many think of Madison Square Garden, and then as the 1970s came along, they'll think of Nassau Coliseum. But there were a lot of smaller venues like the Comac Arena, Sunnyside Gardens, that had great WWE matches. So I talk about that. I talk about this time, I'm going to talk about how the first Saturday night's main event came from the Nassau Coliseum. I'm going to talk about how Hulk Hogan was so popular that he had his own Saturday morning cartoon. And I'm also going to mention, I'm also going to mention, I don't know, somehow I'm going to fit it in that, you know, I met Antonio Inoki in Phoenix the night when he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So, you know, a lot of these things I've been talking about on social media to really give people an idea that, you know, I want to make sure that all of these presentations are different from the previous versions.
And that's so cool that you do vary it. And you mentioned that WWE is helping you with this. Now, are they providing you with videos and materials, or are you kind of having to gather that on your own?
I have to tell you, WWE could not be greater to work with. You know, I'm very thankful that I have received special permission to do these events. These are free events, so anybody can just, you know, get a ticket, walk in. The images that people see, the video that people see, are all part of, you know, WWE's fantastic library, which I'm very grateful to have access to, and, you know, very grateful to share with, you know, with the fans that come out.
That's awesome that they gave that to you, and that they're continuing to work with you, if I could talk, on this. Because I know they've also helped you quite a bit with your WWE encyclopedias, which are available at fine booksellers now. So that's so cool that they're continuing to sort of support you and help you in this. And
well, you know, it's one of those things, you know, my career started out in sports marketing in the video game business, where I got to work with different licenses like the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, WWE, you know, and now as a writer, I mean, I was always grateful, but now I'm even that much more appreciative of how collaborative WWE is to work with, how they they really foster a creative environment, and, you know, they're just great partners to work with. So it's one of those things where, you know, I feel very fortunate.
And that's really cool. And now I know you're doing this one over, let's see, I'm trying to remember right as I'm pulling it up very quickly, on October 6th at 2 p.m. until 4:30 p.m. So on Sunday, you're going to do this one. And I remember us talking when we were setting this up that you had mentioned you might be doing this at WrestleMania 30 as well. Has anything sort of materialized on that, or is that sort
of
something?
Yeah, I mean, well, so this Sunday, Farmingdale, New York, Farmingdale Library, to quote the immortal Gorilla Monsoon, history will be made. conveniently, I feel that way. And then in the next 6 to 12 months, I'm in conversations right now to bring the presentation to Boston, to Philadelphia, to the cities of Greensboro and Charlotte in North Carolina. And, I'm hoping that I do a good enough job. I mean, it's really on me. Right. But I'm hoping that I do a good enough job that it could be considered. For, you know, possibly, I mean, it would be my dream to, you know, to do this at a fan access event at WrestleMania. So, you know, it would just be fantastic.
Philadelphia, Rock, you should go when he's in Philly.
I definitely will when you're in Philadelphia. That sounds awesome that you're going to bring it here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I got to tell you, man, I'm going to hold you to that because, you know, at Acclaim, we did the ECW video games, which unfortunately were not the best games, but I had a great time cutting my teeth in the city of Philadelphia doing live event marketing with the ECW crew, getting Tony Luke's cheesesteaks before the show for dinner, and then we would drive, you know, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock after the shows were done, we would drive back to New York with, you know, cheesesteaks for everybody for, you know, a couple of days after that. So, you know, I love the city of Philadelphia, and you know, a lot of great memories there of working with the ECW team.
Awesome. And so I'm kind of curious. Do you know how many tickets have sold yet? If there are any left available, before I tell people, you know, go pick up your tickets.
I don't know how many tickets have been given away right now. I know that they are expecting between 200 to 300 people.
Wow.
So what I've been telling people in, you know, the different New York area interviews that I've been doing and what I've been saying on social media and in email blasts is basically, you know, get your tickets as soon as possible. If you want to make a reservation through me, you know, you can do that through my Twitter at MightyPen_Sword or on Facebook. I'm just there as Brian Shields. And, you know, I'll put you on the list that I have for reserved tickets. I mean, one of the nice things about these events is that, you know, and I'm very grateful for the support, is whatever the room capacity is in these different venues, it's always filled. So it's one of those things where it's, you know, it's very cool to be able to do it, and it's even more amazing to me that people are coming out and want to see me and talk about it.
And that's amazing that you can fill the rooms and you've got that many people interested in the history of WWE. I know I would love to go to one. You know, you have to convince them to send you out west. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I'm going to have to, because I would definitely love your thoughts, Rock's thoughts on the presentation, the program, and, you know, and everything related to it. So I would not be adverse to traveling west and bringing this out by you for sure.
That would be really cool. And I'm also kind of curious, you know, if you do well enough, maybe we can convince them to possibly turn this into a college course, because it sounds like this would actually be kind of a cool college course to take. Would you be up for that?
You know, and again, conveniently, I agree with that great idea. You know, it's funny. One of the things that that I've been doing for a while that's not totally related to this program is I do a lot of speaking at middle schools, high schools, and colleges. And, you know, I would love to incorporate the WWE component of it in a greater context to bring that to different colleges. I know that that a few schools are now having, like, whether they're, you know, degrees in various areas of entertainment or, you know, specific courses that are part of marketing or entertainment that cover, you know, WWE and sports entertainment. So, yeah, I'm on board.
Oh, you know what? I'll have to talk to my college and see if we can't get them to bring you out to do a speaking event.
I have to tell you, you might just have to be my promoter for this, and we do it that way.
Well, I'll talk to him. I'll see what I can do.
She's very good at the promotion and things. You know, you do a lot of these history of WWE events. What is your favorite decade?
Oh, man, that's tough. You know, for me, there's, and it's probably sentimental value, the 80s for me were just great because that's when I was growing up, and WWE and sports entertainment and cable television all sort of came of age together in concert with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so for me that decade, and especially, you know, when we talk about this in the encyclopedias that I've co-written, and I talk about this in the history of WWE events, you know, that's when you're talking about the action figures and the video games, and all of the merchandise and the home video, and all of that stuff came to life during that era. And I just feel like it was just a very special time. You know, but then, you know, seeing the Attitude Era, which is totally different, which was exciting and in a completely different way. And then, you know, I have to tell you guys, I'm very excited about what's going on today. I think there's a lot of great stuff happening with both the superstars and the divas. I think the athleticism today is just off the charts. I mean, I think you have a generation of talent that were really inspired by, whether it was the new generation, the matches that Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and British Bulldog and Owen Hart were having, or, you know, the Attitude Era with, you know, Undertaker and Triple H and DX and Stone Cold and The Rock and Mick Foley and so many others. Like, you know, the athleticism was so influential. And I think when you look at today's competitors, both, again, male and female, you know, you're seeing a lot of those influences. And just as a fan, like, I just think that's really cool.
It is. I'm sorry. And you speak about today's product and today's reality. I'd love to get your feelings on what they're terming the blurred reality, where they're obviously blurring the line between what is actually going on and what is storyline. What are your thoughts on that, especially when it comes to, you know, Daniel Bryan and the vacated title and also what's going on with the Rhodes family?
You know, I think it's very interesting. I think it's very exciting. I think WWE, and I think back to this, guys, and I'm sorry to, again, reference my days in the video game business, but,
nope.
You know, I remember, like, in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s, the video game business was really one of the first industries to embrace online marketing and the whole concept of community building.
Mm-hmm.
And when I now, taking those experiences, and again, being a fan first and foremost, when I look at the success that WWE has had with social media and online, I mean, they're just knocking it out of the park. And I think that It's been adding a great deal of excitement to the product and anticipation. Daniel Bryan is, and this is not new news, I mean, he's pound for pound one of the best competitors anywhere on the planet. And I think the work that he has done the last couple of years is extraordinary. And this concept of the McMahons, you know, not being happy with someone that many feel should be champion, I think it's just going to make for great drama, great television. You know, there haven't been, I mean, WWE is celebrating their 50th year. There hasn't been too many times where the WWE Championship has been vacant.
Right.
So, and I think the other thing too is, you know, Randy Orton for years has also been one of my favorites. So I'm really looking forward to this Sunday. I thought the SummerSlam match was awesome. I'm really looking forward to this Sunday at Battleground to see those two go at it. And, you know, you mentioned the Rhodes family. I mean, has Goldust ever looked better?
No. Not since 1996.
No, they're
I mean, really, like, yeah, I mean, it's scary how good he looks. And I remember him as the natural Dustin Rhodes. And, mm-hmm. I mean, before Goldust, the tag team he had in WCW with Barry Windham, I thought, was great. I mean, he is moving and looks better now than I think he ever has. Cody Rhodes, and he's another one that over the last couple of years has just been doing phenomenal work. And one of the things I loved, you know, being a kid of the 80s and growing up with the NWA, you know, Dusty gets on the microphone, he's still the Bull of the Woods. You know, he's still that three-time NWA champion, and, you know, he's not going to back down from anybody. So, you know, with the Rhodes family and their history with the McMahon family coming to a head on Sunday, I mean, it's definitely must-see.
Without question, and just think about it. If I told you 10 years ago we would see a McMahon-Rhodes, you know, type storyline on TV, you'd probably call me crazy.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and it's one of those things where I feel like sometimes I do a very good job of showing my age, but, you know, I mean, WCW went out of business 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, ECW, you know, closed its doors 12 years ago. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, for me, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, but for me, it feels like that happened like maybe a few years ago, tops. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Rock. I mean, if you would have told me in, you know, October of 2003 that, you know, down the road, Goldust would be back looking better than ever, Dusty's in the middle of the ring, not backing down from anyone, and now his youngest son is one of the absolute, you know, thoroughbreds of WWE, I completely would have said to you, you know, no way.
Yeah, I mean, one of the coolest moments from Monday night was just seeing all three of them walk out together and walk down to that ring and stand there and, you know, look at the McMahon family straight in the face and just stand up to them. That was such a fantastic moment from Raw, because you're sitting there and you're just thinking of all the history in that ring, and it's so cool to think
about. You're absolutely right. It was awesome. And one of the things I loved, too, was, you know, the reaction that Dusty got from the crowd, I thought was very fitting for somebody that was so decorated as a champion and a performer and someone that, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, contributed so much to the business where, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, again, as an older fan really makes me very happy. And I think his track record has shown, whether he was, you know, in the AWA as a Texas Outlaw or the NWA or Florida or Mid-Atlantic or WWE or ECW, whatever it was, really anything can happen when Dusty Rhodes is out there. So, I mean, it's going to be, I really do. I think it's going to be very exciting on Sunday.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. And one thing that I'm kind of curious to know about is, we're talking about families and the Rhodes and the McMahons, but what are your thoughts on the Wyatts? They seem to be, they're brand new to WWE. There was a lot of buzz about them coming up from developmental, and they seem to be sort of finding their way into the product. So I'm curious to know what you think of them. Obviously, you heard them in our intro, so we're big fans of them here, but I would be curious to get your thoughts.
I think they're great. It's funny, and, when I first saw them, I know a lot of people were making analogies and comparisons to, I guess one of these reality shows where people in the bayou are in the swamps or something, and, everything is relative, right? So for me, when I saw it, and again, this might be me showing my age, so maybe I should start describing it differently, but, like, I thought Bray Wyatt had the eloquence of, Robert De Niro's character in Cape Fear.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
Where it's somebody that is alarmingly intelligent to the point of, like, that fine line between genius and insanity. And it's not this struggle for power or popularity. It's more about, creating an uprising and gathering followers. And I mean, I think what the Y family is doing now, I think is really, really cool. It's very different. And, and I think the way it's different is, and I miss, there are certain things I miss from back in the day. I miss factions. I miss tag teams. I miss managers. WWE has been satisfying that for me as a fan with the great manager work of Paul Heyman and Zeb Coulter. And then, WWE now, they have two great villainous factions in the Shield and the Wyatts. And I mean, I can't see anything but great stuff happening.
I would agree. And another thing that sort of, at least for me, and I don't know if this is going to date me, but one thing I kind of missed and have missed for a long time is gimmicks, and how for a while they sort of got away from those, and now we're seeing them begin to sort of reinfiltrate their way back into WWE with, tons of funk and the Shield and the Wyatts and now Los Matadores, who just debuted. And
what?
You see more of that now down in FCW, and you know that more of that is coming up. And it's not just with the guys, it's with the girls, too, which is pretty cool. And I mean, would you agree that that's something that maybe they were needing, that's sort of helping to inject something back into the product? Or is that in some cases hurting it just a little bit?
I think it helped. I think if you look back into the historical business performance of the organization, it does its best when there's a little something for everybody. Whether it's managers, whether it's divas, whether it's tag teams, whether it's, a combination of reality-based or, fictional-based or gimmicked characters or, any of those things. I mean, really, like, if you go back to, the 80s or the Attitude Era, I mean, there's always a great balance on the card. And so for me, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think it only helps.
Right. And one thing that's kind of interesting is we see the gimmicks coming up from FCW, but we're also seeing wrestlers in certain gimmicks being sort of reinvented and remade into something in some ways better, like we're seeing, like, to go back to Cody Rhodes and to Daniel Bryan, and really to, for a lot of the people that are involved right now in the major storylines surrounding the McMahon family, you know, pretty much everybody involved in that is sort of getting a boost and really in some ways getting reinvented. We're probably going to see the reinvention of potentially Kane with the Wyatts, because that's at least something I know they got my attention with it, because I'm a big Kane fan, I'm not going to lie, where the Wyatts took out Kane and they drug him off at SummerSlam and nobody knows where he is. You know, as far as character-wise, you know, if you're in the know, you actually know where he is. But, you know, everybody assumes he's under the house somewhere. But, you know, so that's something that's kind of interesting that they're doing, where they're sort of taking it in a different direction than they have been, where it's sort of just been this norm, and now they're exploring characters and wrestlers in ways that we haven't seen. Because we've now seen the involvement with Brie Bella, with Daniel Bryan, and how they've taken that reality and injected it into the product. And
yeah, I think to that point, you know, WWE, I think, has always done a very good job of evolving as an organization and as an entertainment entity. And, you know, I mean, again, when you think of 52 weeks of fresh television content a year, you think of the incredible following they have with those television ratings and social media and the internet. You know, it's I think that what they've been doing is really interesting. And because you know, I heard, and I, you know, on some other interviews, people have asked me, like, you know, that there are a lot of similarities between the Stone Cold path to, you know, the McMahon battle and Daniel Bryan. And you know, to me, I mean, I don't feel that way. I feel like the general idea might be similar, that, you know, the WWE executives and the McMahons are going to do everything they can to prevent this, you know, this person from having their championship. But when you get into some of the other detail, you know, I mean, the two men couldn't be more different.
You're right about that one. They're way different. Stone Cold was, you know, the anti-authority. You see Daniel Bryan, he's the underdog, basically. It's a
right,
totally,
exactly.
Different, totally different role compared to Stone Cold versus the McMahons. Yeah, I see that point.
And also, Daniel Bryan isn't the only one being held down by the McMahons in this. So, there
right.
is that difference as well. And speaking
of... You know, and one of the things also, guys, that I want to make mention of, because you mentioned Brie Bella, like, I mean, the impact of Total Divas. I mean, this show had, in its first season, they had over a million viewers. I think it was every week.
Yeah, they grew as the season went on. I believe they peaked at 1.6, 1.7 million viewers for that show.
Right.
And we did a whole series on it. It was a great show.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that, you know, I think that that's going to give the Divas division a brighter spotlight to perform under, which, you know, I'm a huge supporter of. I mean, they're so talented. And, you know, and again, this nuance of, okay, well, the McMahons are against somebody, but now this somebody is an underdog, but he's also an incredible wrestler and a grappler who... I mean, really, like, I mean, the past 2 years, I mean, his in-ring work has been incredible. Mm-hmm. And now there's this new element to it of the legitimate love of his life and now fiance, who is also a WWE diva, is being inserted into the storyline. And, I mean, I think it's great. I think it has a lot of potential.
It's what you want out of pro wrestling. You get the wrestling, but you also get the real life drama, and that just sucks
yeah.
you right in.
Absolutely.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah, and it just adds that little something extra. It's like one thing that we've been talking about. We do a Raw post show where we review Monday Night Raw right after it happens, and we keep commenting about Stephanie McMahon and how she's been playing her part absolutely perfectly as she's, you know, manipulating the Rhodes family and Big Show and pretty much everybody around her, and how they're sort of doing this good cop, bad cop thing between her and Triple H, where, you know, Triple H is trying to, you know, do what's quote unquote best for business, even though he's in some ways, in a lot of ways, not really. And then you have Stephanie McMahon just standing there manipulating people. And it's just, it's an incredible dynamic between the two and an incredible dynamic in the product. Because it's like, when they went there with Big Show, you're going, that's different. That's cool. Versus, you know, just
It's very funny because, and if you've seen some of the DVDs in recent years where, you know, Mr. McMahon and Linda McMahon and Triple H, you know, they acknowledge, and I think it's pretty hard not to. I mean, Stephanie's an actual performer, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that she has a great charisma. I think she has the gift of gab and then some, and she's very good at connecting with the audience, especially when she's in a villainous role. I think she really plays the role of this this villain perfectly. And I think you could tell, I mean, she's totally comfortable with it. The rapport back and forth that her and Triple H have been showing in the ring and behind, you know, in the locker room area over the last month or so, I think has been great. And I think, you know, and I was saying something similar with, like, The Miz and Alberto Del Rio, where, like, they're great stars, they're great athletes, they're incredibly talented, but when they're villains, they seem just at home.
Right.
And, you know, and to me, when Stephanie McMahon's music hits, and she comes out and she takes that microphone and she starts telling people where to go and how to get there. I think it's just great.
You could tell that all the way back when she first came in with the McMahon Helms era, she really embraced that role of being the heel, the villain type character, and it's evolved over the years. She really embraces that role.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite lines from that era was, you know, when she's in the ring with her mother and she says, you know, there's only room in this family for one woman and it's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, not only is, and that's why, like, sometimes I wish that people would appreciate more of the writing and the delivery in what the WWE personalities do. I mean, that's a perfect example of an idea and just a home run of a delivery. And I think that's when she slapped her mother as well.
Yeah, it was.
But, you know, I mean, so, and again, you know, we were talking a little bit before, like, if you would have told me back then that in 2013 this would be going on and she would have this poise of almost like the head villain in a superhero film, I'd be like, well, maybe.
Maybe. There's potential for it.
So it's really been fun to watch.
Speaking of females who are fun to watch, AJ Lee. She's been the Divas Champion.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where you were going with that. Okay.
Yeah. Wedge that in there. Yeah. AJ Lee.
No, that's cool.
What are your thoughts on her?
I have to tell you, that Shining Wizard is no joke, man.
I don't
want to get caught on the receiving end of that. I saw that last week, and I mean, as you guys know, because we've been talking now for a while, on and off air, but I mean, for your audience, I'm a huge Pure Sue fan, Japanese wrestling. I mean, she threw that Shining Wizard on like it was Muda. So, I think she's another personality where she's really come into her own over the last, you know, 1 to 2 years. And I know that her story is a little different, and her rise to the main roster is on the quicker end of things. But the way that I truly feel about that is that that's just a testament to her passion for what she does. And I think you can tell when she competes in the ring that, I mean, she's giving it everything she has out there. And you're looking at mixed martial arts strikes, submission holds. I mean, she's really, I think she's been great. And I loved how she came out and just, you know, said what she had to say about the Divas and, you know, essentially just kind of dropped the microphone and walked off. I thought it was great.
And if you think back, I guess it was WrestleMania 28, that 18-second match for Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus has not only made Daniel Bryan's career, it made AJ's career, as they both have spawned off into two really entertaining characters and two high-profile talents on the roster.
Yeah, they, you know, it definitely has, and I would love to know if that's one of those things where, like, you know, that was the idea all along, because, you know, now it's not like that happened 6 months ago.
Right.
Mm-mm. But, you know, I really do. I feel like there's always a bigger picture potential, I think, that the WWE sees in their talent, and it may not coincide with, you know, what certain fans want, you know, at that exact moment, but, you know, that's why the WWE does what they do, and they create stars. And I think when you look at, you know, Daniel Bryan and AJ specifically, I think those are two great examples.
And I kind of want to wrap back, speaking of AJ and the Divas, and kind of wrap back to something you said earlier. You mentioned and you brought up Total Divas, and, you know, she dropped that amazing pipe bomb, to which we all just sat here and were like, gave her a standing ovation for. Do you potentially see, with the success of Total Divas, that the WWE potentially expanding into that arena of possibly even expanding Total Divas to include more of the Divas, or to maybe potentially explore more reality shows? Because, you know, Total Divas is very revolutionary in the fact that you have six professional wrestlers, six or seven, I'm sorry, lost count, basically revealing their lives and the business to the world, which you don't necessarily see.
Right.
And so do you potentially see, now that they've done that, you know, WWE maybe not being as afraid of that and expanding into that market more, as they've seen the success of Total Divas and the fact that people are obviously very curious and very interested about either the Divas or that way of life?
I think what the success of the show has, and I'm going to say that's reminded a lot of people, is that the women that compete in WWE are incredibly versatile and incredibly talented, and when they're ready for that spotlight and it's, you know, in the right situation, you know, they just take the ball and run with it. So for me, you know, I think the success of Total Divas, I think we will see additional seasons of Total Divas. I don't know if it will be, okay, well, now we're seeing 7 and next time we'll see 12. But, you know, it might be that, you know, more will be rotated in and out. Mm-hmm. But I think in the end, I think it just benefits the division, because this success is giving them more TV time. And
right.
More time at the live events and more time at pay-per-views. So to me, it's just a win-win.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's...
I'll tell you guys now, I would rather not see it become like, you know, the final iteration of NWO Hollywood, where, like, you know, there are literally... like 40 members.
NWO Red, the, you know, NWO Black, NWO White, NWO Green, Gray.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because again, it's like, you know, the show is 60 minutes, and I think when you have a show with commercials, you guys probably know this better than I do, but I think it's like 47 minutes or something.
Something like that.
You know, I think the number that they have right now is really good.
Right, and rotating divas in and out, you get to see, you know, more and more. You get to see different lives. It would be interesting if they would rotate people in as the seasons go.
Yeah, that would be neat to see. And another thing I was potentially just had in mind is Darren Young. He made huge news by coming out around SummerSlam and admitting that he is gay and his adorable boyfriend. And I was wondering, you know, maybe could they expand into that as well, where it's what it's like to be openly gay in the professional wrestling business in a reality show as well, if they had considered that, maybe.
I mean, they definitely could. I mean, one of the things that I also think is extraordinary about WWE is they can naturally get involved and go into other forms of entertainment very quickly. I mean, you know, within the last, I think, year it was, I mean, they, you know, promoted that Rolling Stones concert on pay-per-view. You know, I think they are really, if not the last, one of the last forms of, like, the old Hollywood movie studio system where they truly create stars.
Yes.
And I think when you have that ability, it gives you options in terms of what vehicles you want to enter into. So, I mean, listen, Darren Young is no slouch in his own right. I mean, he's a WWE superstar. He does his thing in the ring and then some. So, you know, if they ever decided that they wanted to do something with him in that kind of reality show type setting, I'm sure they could do that very easily.
I would agree, and that would be a cool thing to see what his life is like and how it sort of differs from everybody else, but it's also the same. Because I would be curious to see that. Just say in WWE. So I know it's getting late, and I don't want to keep you too long because I don't want to.
Guys, we're good. I mean, this has been great as always. So however you want to roll, we're cool.
Okay. Well, I'd like to transition because we talked about it at the very beginning, and I know I talked about this with you. We would love to talk to you about Battleground, which is coming up this Sunday, the same day as your event. But if you go to the event, go to Battleground too. Or if you go to Battleground, go to the event.
Yeah.
I know it's 6 hours apart. It's a long drive, but go check out Brian's History of WWE presentation because it will be amazing. And then go check out Battleground. You know, make a day of it. So I'm curious to know. I know you said you were looking forward to Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. And this has been a hard one because we do a pick'em challenge. This has been a hard one for a lot of people, at least on our network, and I think in general, to pick because of all the situation that's been going on. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on the match and potentially who you think is going to walk away with the title.
Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it is tough. I don't know. You know, I really have no idea. I mean, I thought the SummerSlam match was great, as we talked about earlier. It's tough. I mean, I feel like it's tough to pick against either guy.
Right. It really is. You just sit there and think, okay, at SummerSlam, you had John Cena lose to Daniel Bryan and the Randy Orton cash in, and you had, what was it, September 1, Night of Champions?
Yeah.
He caught it and got the title and then was stripped of it, and then people at Cox Cable decided we want our refunds. And now you go, can Daniel Bryan actually walk out champion? It's tough. Both guys are hitting their stride, and it's like you just don't know.
I feel like it's been a long time since the WWE championship is in a contest where almost line for line, if you did a tale of, not in just the height and everything. I mean, listen, we all know that Daniel Bryan, I think, is like 5'9". And, you know, Randy Orton, I think, is close to 6'4". Like, I'm not talking about that. I mean, you know, the ring ability, the versatility in the ring as a competitor. You know, if you go from, like, you know, agility and speed to strikes and submission holds and chain wrestling and grappling and, you know, they're very evenly matched. So, I mean, this is a tough one to call. For me.
And whatever Daniel Bryan lacks in height, he has in beard length, so it all evens out anyway.
Yeah.
That's a great point. That could be the equalizer right there.
It's the beard. You gotta fear the beard. And respect it.
Yeah.
Respect the beard.
Respect
also.
The beard. You gotta respect the beard. In my thinking, I don't think we get a champion at the end of this night. I'm kind of thinking we're gonna be left without him. That's where it seems to be headed, at least in my eyes.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's the case. At some point, I think the winning ability is in Triple H.
I was just going to say,
I'm kind of with Rock on this one that I love the idea of the vacated title. I love the fact that there is no WWE champion right now. And I've had discussions with people in the past. They're like, well, why can't they vacate the title? Well, they just can't because, you know, there has to be a WWE champion. Well, why? Why can't there be a vacated title? Why can't you have...
Right.
You know, two guys fighting for it, and neither one has the title. So I like this idea that you have two guys that are so evenly matched, and the odds are so great against one of them that it's like he can overcome the odds, and then they overcome him at the same time, and then he's trying to also fight Randy Orton on top of it.
Right.
I like this idea that it's just everything, all the circumstances are basically preventing crowning a WWE champion, and what really Triple H and Stephanie and the rumor is Vince McMahon will do in reaction to that, because in their eyes there has to be a WWE champion, they have to crown somebody, and well, if, you know, Randy Orton and Dana Bryan can't work it out, what happens after that? How does the story continue beyond that? Because it's like once Orton or Bryan gets it back, it's like, oh, okay, you know, it's kind of maybe over. Not really, but it would just be neat to see that reaction after this pay-per-view of there's a draw, and it's almost that, oh no, what do we do now kind of situation. Because Bryan and Orton have both burned their rematch. They, you know, there is no number one contender. Where do you go from here? So I think that would be
And that's a great question is, you know, if there is no winner, I mean, really what happens then is a third top contender brought into the mix? I mean, how do you settle it? It's a great question.
In the past, we've had co-champions, so maybe we get a double pinfall. Both men can stake claim to the belt, and then I guess 3 weeks from now, there's a, you know, big structure looming called Hell in a Cell. That may be the way to settle it once and for all.
Could be.
You might be right.
It's just, you know, things you think about when you think of what the outcome could be. You know, we could just see Randy Orton walk out. You just don't. This is one of those where you have to put money down on it. You just don't know.
Right.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think if you look at the end of SummerSlam, I think one of the reasons why that worked so well is because I don't know how many people saw that coming. I mean, I think if you listen to the crowd, I mean, you know, I think it pretty much showed that, you know, anything can and will happen.
And that's wonderful to see that sort of unpredictability coming back into the product again. Not that it was missing for a long time, but it's just there for a while. It seemed to get very, a little bit too predictable, and now they're sort of making you wonder what's going to happen next, what are they going to do, what's coming. You can't, nothing is clearly defined for you, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a fan to have again, because it's like, well, now I really want to see the show to find out what happens. As opposed to, oh, I have to watch the show for what we do, but it's like, I really, really want to see it because I want to get that next piece of the story. I need to get that next piece of the story. So I have
I think so. And I think especially, you know, one of the things that I like is that, you know, it can and often will extend to SmackDown. So, you know, that's another part of it that, you know, at one time the brand extension was, you know, was really quite defined, and that wasn't always the case. So to me, you know, I think that that's another great element of it. You know, if there is this question, is, you know, not only now are we going to see it on Monday night, but, you know, we could very well see it on Fridays as well.
Right. They've sort of made SmackDown, you know, a must-see program again. Because for a time there was, you had Raw and you had SmackDown, but nothing big was happening on SmackDown. And now SmackDown, over the last couple months, you got to make sure you watch the show.
Right. Exactly.
And speaking of champions, as it were, Alberto, you mentioned Alberto Del Rio a while back. He's taking on Rob Van Dam. What do you think about Van Dam's return, and who are you leaning towards for Sunday?
Well, I mean, the first thing I think of when I think of Van Dam's return is I just think it's physically amazing that he is able to do all of these incredible moves that he has now been doing for over 15 years and not miss a beat, not miss a step, be as sharp as ever. You know, I mean, so to me, when I think of him coming back, I'm just so impressed by that. You know, the feud with Del Rio, I think it's been very interesting, and I feel like Del Rio's home again as a villain, as a villainous world heavyweight champion. I think their match is going to be really good. I mean, you know, those hardcore extreme rules. I mean, it favors Van Dam, but, you know, Del Rio has shown over time that he's a lot more than just the kind of cocky, you know, Mexican aristocrat, and, you know, he's double tough.
I agree. You would think it would favor Van Dam, but we've seen Del Rio in ladder matches, and he's, you know, been really aggressive in them. It's going to be interesting. I think this could be, it has the potential at least to be one of the top matches of the night.
Oh, absolutely. It could easily steal the show.
Now, here's the question, I guess, on everybody's mind is, will we see an appearance, or should say not see, but get an appearance from the uncrowned champion, Damian Sandow? He's Mr. Money in the Bank. He's got that fancy-dancy briefcase. Could we see him potentially take advantage of the hardcore rule situation and possibly cash in on either Alberto Del Rio or Rob Van Dam after the match is over?
You know, he's another... There's a group of these WWE superstars that over the last couple of years, I've just been a huge admirer of their work. And, you know, he's another one, you know, a graduate of Killer Kowalski School. I love the character. I love his gift of gab on the microphone. Again, so condescending, so obnoxious. And he backs it up in the ring, and I think, you know, he's really been trying to make the Money in the Bank briefcase his own. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that happens come Sunday, a part of me will be surprised, and then another part of me won't be, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. It's kind of like you're almost potentially expecting it, but you're not, because you know,
right.
You never know when it will happen. They waited until after WrestleMania and Dolph Ziggler, so they could wait equally as long with Sandow, or they could have him cash in Sunday. We don't know.
Yeah,
and that's the underlying theme is we don't know, which is a wonderful thing to be able to say.
No,
but I guess
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brock.
Now, one of the things we've been seeing lately, especially over the summer, has been, as you brought up earlier, Paul Heyman and his managerial skills, and he's becoming one of these villainous type characters after turning on CM Punk back at Money in the Bank. What are your thoughts on this turn for Paul Heyman and the rise of CM Punk as the good guy now and their feud right now and leading into this Sunday where he just gets where Punk takes on Ryback?
Well, I think it's been very difficult for CM Punk to be completely booed by the WWE Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he showed when he went with Heyman initially when he was champion, and we've seen before, whether it was leading the New Nexus or Straight Edge Society or as a singles wrestler, I mean, he is a great villain.
Right.
I think that it's very difficult for, you know, a sizable portion of the audience to really boo him, so... You know, the nuances with Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel and now Ryback getting involved, it really makes things very, very interesting. And one of the things I'm wondering is that at some point will CM Punk, you know, possibly receive help from somebody to even up the odds?
I could see that. Kofi could be one, or you can pull some guys from NXT that could, you know, fit alongside Punk. Because there's going to become a time where there's going to be all these Paul Heyman guys, Curtis Axel, Ryback, and then there's always Brock Lesnar who looms around. He's going to need someone to watch his back, and yeah, I'm with you. Someone possibly could step up and have his back for once.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've always liked was the idea of, you know, we were talking about Dusty Rhodes before, you know, when the Four Horsemen were attacking Dusty Rhodes, it was like, okay, there was a group of heroes that are banding together to fight off this villainy. And, you know, so it was Dusty and Magnum TA and the Road Warriors and Nikita Koloff. And, you know, I think it's going to be very cool and very interesting if at some point something similar happens, you know, with Daniel Bryan or with CM Punk where, you know, now they have some allies that are throwing their hats in the ring, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. And, you know, speaking with the history of WWE, it would be kind of cool maybe do something old school, some sort of traditional Survivor Series type deal in a couple months, you know, with a Paul Heyman guys versus, you know, a CM Punk-led team.
Oh, I mean, that would be great. I mean, to have a classic Survivor Series style match would just be phenomenal.
And coming Sunday, we've mentioned before the Rhodes family is taking on the Shield. Where's your heart leaning? Is your heart leaning to the Rhodes family this Sunday?
I feel like it has to. You know, I really do, and so I try not to, you know, sometimes get too sentimental, you know, as a fan, but. And I love the Shield. I mean, the Shield's been one of WWE's, you know, hottest tickets.
Right.
And they've just done such a great job. But, you know, when I see the Bull of the Woods walk out there and, you know, I hope that the Rhodes family can just get it together. And not to say that they don't have it together now, so... I should say, you know, I hope they're able to really, you know, form something together that can, you know, that can defeat the villains.
And you gotta hope to see one more bionic elbow. That's what I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Oh, you have to. I mean, it's only right.
It's only fitting that, you know, he drops an elbow maybe on Dean Ambrose and he goes flying one final time.
Yeah.
Well, what would be interesting to see is if, one, Dean Ambrose is at ringside, because there's a rumor that he's actually banned, but two, could we see some interference maybe from Big Show on the Rhodes' behalf? Or possibly he helps Cody and Dusty out? Or Dustin, I should say?
You know, that would be a nice turn in the story, you know, especially since for so many years Big Show has really spoken so highly of Dusty Rhodes. I would love to see something like that, sure.
Yeah, because maybe he redeems himself for the knockout punch that we saw on Monday Night Raw a couple weeks ago, which was brilliantly done. Maybe he tries to redeem himself with the family by helping them out and helping Cody and Dustin get their jobs back, or in this case, Cody get his job back and Dustin to get a job and to save the Dream's job ultimately.
Yeah, you know, I think that that the stuff with Big Show the last few weeks has just been really well done. I mean, you can tell that the people in the crowd are basically yelling, like, you know, don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's just, and again, that's great television. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind your idea of, you know, the Big Show coming in and, you know, helping things out. I think that'd be great.
Now transitioning out of pay-per-view, because they have a video game coming out in a few weeks called WWE 2K14 from the folks at 2K Games. And their big mode is 30 years of WrestleMania. And one of the big sections is Hulk Hogan, you know, Hulkamania runs wild. With WrestleMania 30 coming up, and the rumors about that Hulk Hogan is no longer with the other organization, is it only fitting, and would you like to see it, a return of Hulk Hogan for WrestleMania 30?
Well, I think what history has shown us is, and I believe that Hulk Hogan said this in his Hall of Fame induction speech in 2005, is really you can never say never. And I really feel like time has shown, you know, with WWE over and over again that is not a cliche, that's the truth. I think it's completely within the realm of possibility that, you know, that at some point, you know, Hulk Hogan could return to WWE in some capacity. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what that capacity would be, but, I think when it comes to Hulk Hogan and WWE, and especially something at WrestleMania, and I'm saying just something, I think anything's possible.
It just seems like it would fit perfect for him to be there on that night, because he was there at the start, and, you know, 30 years, it's a big milestone. It only seems right.
You know, it really is a funny thing. I mean, we're now at a point chronologically where the last WrestleMania he appeared in was WrestleMania 21. And, you know, this gives you an idea of longevity, but, you know, when he came back at WrestleMania 18, you know, that was 9 years removed from, you know, when he beat Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9 in an impromptu match. So, you know, we are once again 9 years removed from Hulk Hogan being a part of a WrestleMania. So, yeah, I mean, I really do. I feel anything's possible. I don't know if like a one-on-one match would be a good way to go. Maybe something, whether it's you know, general on-air kind of office position, or, you know, a tag team or a six-man or something like that. I mean, you know, so that the details of it I'm not sure of. But, yeah, I think it would be great for him to come back.
And just for the history alone, maybe to see not only Hogan come back, but see many members of the past come back on that night for WrestleMania 30, bring back your Ric Flairs and your Ted DiBiases, and just have those moments where you see them again at WrestleMania, and to show how much they've meant to the product and to really to the fans as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and New Orleans is, you know, is another one of these cities that used to be referred to as, you know, a hotbed for wrestling action. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though today we've evolved and WWE is sports entertainment, I mean, the city itself, and I was there last year, you know, the city itself has an incredible history, incredible art, incredible food and culture and music, and you know, the professional wrestling sports entertainment category has been a very big part of that for many, many years. So, you know, for the 30th WrestleMania to be in New Orleans, I think, you know, what Lindsay is saying, it's only fitting for there to be, you know, some of these great legendary figures from the past.
Right, a true celebration of what WWE is all about.
Because they're hitting more than one landmark. I mean, as you said, it's their 50th year. It's the 30th year of WrestleMania. There's so many things that are going to be happening with WWE in the next 12 months that it seems fitting, you know, to go down to New Orleans and just have a big party to celebrate everything that is WWE and all that they've accomplished and all they've done in their 50 years as a company.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the things that time has also shown, whether it's WrestleMania or launching a new event or pay-per-view or, you know, making the Hall of Fame an integral part of WrestleMania weekend. I mean, when WWE is in that kind of mode, I don't know if there's anybody better in terms of whether it's promoting the event, telling the story leading up to. I mean, it's all fantastic.
Oh, I would agree. I would 100% agree with that. And speaking of WrestleMania, I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap this because, again, I don't want to keep you up too terribly late. But sadly, it's become that time, so I just have one last question for you.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't remember if we asked this the last time we spoke to you, so we're just going to play it safe and ask it again and say, what is your all-time number one favorite WrestleMania match?
Oh, man. You guys always hit me with such great questions. I feel like tonight there's even more. You know, and I know that this isn't going to really answer it, but for so many years it was Hogan Andre, just for the sheer enormity of it. But, you know, that Undertaker Shawn Michaels won.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania 25.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's really hard to find something else. And, you know, and even as I'm saying that, guys, I think of Undertaker Triple H, the first match, mm-hmm. was just, I mean, that was another one that I just thought, my gosh, this is unbelievable. So for me, those are probably the, you know, the moments that really, really resonate with me at this point.
Definitely some awesome moments to have. Definitely. Well, like I said, I'm really sorry to wrap this up because honestly, we could talk to you all night, and I wish we could, but like I said, I don't want to keep you
too late. Oh, likewise. Listen, you guys always treat me very well, and it's always great to be talking with you. So, you know, thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And everyone needs to go out and see Brian this Sunday, October 6th. At the Farmingdale Library in Farmingdale, New York. Tickets now available. They're selling out like crazy, even though they're free. But standing room only. Get your tickets now. You gotta go see the man. He gives you an awesome history of WWE. It's an awesome Q&A. And, you know, he'll have his books, the WWE Encyclopedia. Buy it now. If you're not going to the event, go to Amazon.com or your local bookstore and pick up a copy because it's an amazing book.
It's fantastic.
Thank you guys again.
So on that note, you're listening to The Rack, and we will be right back. So thank you.
interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once! Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, well, yeah, right now on our subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches. Bitches.
And it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone while I'm in the middle of plowing, I'll just go, yay, listen to CB Radio.
On October 5th.
The biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can. Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
It's the 300th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow? Oh, look, it's 4 billion years of awesome radio.
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
Spooning and ball.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't digit porn be half off?
You know, actually they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there.
I'd have to argue with that, though. I'm like, well, it's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a chain than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female. So we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That's part of the cost, is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker. I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 300th episode of CB Radio, Saturday night,
October 5th,
live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy Ace, Sir Rockin', Subway was on,
Rob Parker was on. GP was on for a little bit. William McConnell was here for a short while. Then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Parks are all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Park from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at MemorabiliaLane.com. I hope everybody, or I'm sorry, MemorabiliaPromo.com. One day I will remember to plug your websites, right? I am so sorry. I hope everybody enjoyed our wonderful interview with Brian Shields. Please go buy the WWE Encyclopedia, either version 1 or 2. And also please check out his event if you're in the area. On Sunday, it's going to be amazing. The guy knows his stuff. Plus, he has his own entrance. I mean, come on.
It doesn't get any bigger than that. Go check him out. Farmingdale, New York, this Sunday, October 6th. You don't want to miss it.
You don't. And on that note, we're going to kind of sort of transition out of WWE a little bit. And we're going to talk about tonight's exciting Impact. But before we do that, because we kind of had to, you know, shift the show a little bit because we're doing it a little bit different. Let's go ahead and give them the question of the night.
Our question of the night is simple. What match are you most looking forward to this Sunday at Battleground? So we'll get into that here in a little while. But yeah, let's get into a little bit of Impact. And I'm just going to say this up front before we actually get into the show. Leaps and bounds better than last week.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I will totally agree with that. By the way, King Kittens, we'll do full battleground picks later, just so you know.
Yeah, we're going to do the full battleground picks here in, you know, at the end of the show, like we normally do.
Yes, like we normally do. But getting into Impact, which was better, the show opened tonight with AJ Styles, not Bully Ray.
Wait, what?
I actually have it, it's really sad, and I don't mean to sound bad about this, but I actually have it pre-typed in my note sheet because I take notes during the show. For this show,
mm-hmm.
Impact opens with Bully Ray coming to the ring. That is already pre-typed in my sheet, and I actually had to change it to AJ Styles because, like, oh my God, it's AJ! They did something different.
It is AJ Styles, and he had some things to say tonight, didn't he?
Oh yes, he did. Do we have audio of it?
Yes, in fact, we do.
Let me be the first to say. Then I can appreciate Hulk Hogan coming out here and trying to smooth things over last week. But then again, here comes Dixie Carter showing her true colors. But as much as I like the guy, I'm not out here to talk about Hulk Hogan. And as much as I would like to bury Dixie Carter with every shovel that I have, I'm not out here to talk about her either. I'm out here to talk about my opponent at Bound for Glory. And let me be the first one to say that I know who you are. I know exactly who you are, Bully Ray. You are the man that I'm going to beat to be the next world heavyweight champion. You are the man that I'm going through to get what I want. October 20th, San Diego, California. It's put up or shut up time for AJ Styles. I currently don't have a contract here at TNA. So I'm all in. I'm putting it all in. I'm betting it all. My life's on the line. I'm all in. I haven't seen the world heavyweight title in over a year. Haven't even looked at it. I'm hungry to get what I want. And they say that Bully Ray is the most dangerous guy in the building. I beg to differ.
Well, you might find out, my friend. Be careful disrespecting a world heavyweight champion like that, Mr. Styles.
And when it comes to numbers, aces and eights, one man short. one less member after what went down last week. Main event,
shut it
win. Wes Briscoe is gone.
Wow. That lady is really in your head, isn't she? You just said you hope to win the world heavyweight title. I think you said hope. You hope to win? If you were a true champion and a true winner, you know you would be able to defeat me. But because Dixie Carter is in your head so damn good, you even doubt yourself, don't you? Listen, listen, she's a gorgeous woman. Not as gorgeous as you, honey. But you ain't gotta be worried about her on October 20th. You gotta be worried about me. What? Not gonna say anything? Explain something to you. Look at what I did to Hogan. Look at what I did to Sting. Look at what I did to Hardy. Look at what I did to Anderson. Look at what I did to my own brother, Devon. What do you think I'm going to do to you? Normally, I would sit here and say, do you know who I am? But AJ, you already know who I am. I'm the guy that beat you 2 years ago in a last man standing match. You got nothing I want. You got nothing I need. But there is one thing I want to take. And I want to take it real bad. I want to take you away from them. I'm sick and tired of traveling all over the world and hearing every arena chant, AJ, AJ. Smile all you want, kid, because after October 20th, they ain't going to be chanting that no more.
You are no different than Dixie Carter. You use people. You suck them dry. You bleed them for everything they're worth, and then you kick them to the curb as if they never existed. You are no different than Dixie Carter.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment. She's ruthless. I'm ruthless. She's a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. She's a somebody. I'm the world heavyweight champion. And you are an absolute zero who better hope and pray to whatever god you worship that you got a shot in hell of beating me. Otherwise, I'm sending you home without a contract to you, your miserable wife, and your three kids.
It seems like you're the one who's not focused. Maybe you need to get focused on your match tonight.
I don't have a match tonight, moron.
You know, it sounds to me that Hulk Hogan hates you as much as I do, because you do have a match tonight. I mean, believe me when I say this, he's going to kill you. Joe is going to kill you.
What are you talking about?
Joe's gonna kill you.
Whoa, 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 wait, 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 wait.
Sounds
whoa.
To me like hello. The world champ's got a match.
Well, that's not right. Wait, wait, wait a minute. The world champ's got to face Samoa Joe. That can't be right. There's got to be a typo or something. What the hell are you talking about?
Joe's gonna kill you. Joe's gonna kill you.
This was a fantastic opening to the show. Mm-hmm. Very well done. AJ, one thing I love about AJ, and maybe it was just tonight, but whenever AJ is really, really, really fired up, and he's got this, you know, he's cutting a really passionate promo, his eyes like, just glow this brilliant blue, and they just cut right to the camera. Mm-hmm. And his eyes were doing that tonight, and it was so cool. Where it's just like, it's almost like you can literally see the fire in his eyes, because they were glowing tonight.
There's fire and passion in his eyes. And this was a nice start to the show, and it got their feud, their match, off on the right foot.
It completely did. And it was great to see. Absolutely wonderful to see. So bravo to both men. Sold it hook, line, and sinker. And well, AJ wasn't quite done after this.
No, he wasn't, as he was backstage arguing with Dixie Carter. And then she laid it online. He only has one more obligation left to the company, and that's Bound for Glory. And well, she's tired of him and basically told security to get him out of the building.
Pretty much, yeah. So AJ, you know, scoffs at that and says, you know, Atlas Security escorting me out of the building? I don't think so. I'm leaving because I don't even want to breathe the same air as you. And so AJ leaves on his own. So things are getting pretty heated between AJ Styles and one Dixie Carter as well.
Mm-hmm.
So could we see some shenanigans at Bound for Glory in a couple weeks? I guess we'll have to see.
You know, that dastardly promoter, you never know.
You never know. And so they went to break, and when they came back, we had Jeff Hardy and Manic taking on Kenny King and Chris Sabin with Velvet Sky at ringside, and Austin Aries was on commentary.
Austin Aries and Taz had great chemistry. They went back and forth waffling, you know, wondering if we were waffling over something, and I wondered, well, is it waffling, or did they get pancaked? Who knows? Could be Eggos, you know, but or French toast it. I don't know. Waffle, pancakes sounded better than French toast it.
By the way, before we continue, Kang Kittens, corner now.
Causing trouble, that kid.
And no, just for the record, you cannot take Cookies or Christian with you. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I was trying to be nice and not go that route. So
what? Somebody's got to take the shot.
I would say, for the record, I was trying to be nice and polite.
You know what? He dropped a McRib reference on my Facebook. It's open season.
I saw that. I had your back tonight. I had your back.
It's open season, dude. You do that, it's open season.
Just what the record show, I had your back. Anyway, good match.
It was a good match. The only problem was is they probably should have rethought Kenny King just a little bit because, well, as we saw last week, he got busted open pretty bad. And, you know, obviously they shot this in the same night and they pretty much just super glued him back together, sent him back out there. And, well, super glue didn't quite hold.
That laceration did come open.
Yeah, and so he was bleeding all over the match again, so it was like, oh dear, poor Kenny King. I hope he was okay after last week, because, yeah, that much blood loss would suck.
It would suck, but Manic and Hardy were able to pick up the victory after a swanton bomb. Post-match, we had Chris Sabin attacking both Hardy and Manic. Aries made the save and then grabbed the microphone, and basically he challenged Sabin to a match. And then he also challenged to a match where it's Sabin, Manic, and Jeff Hardy in a four-way at Bound for Glory. That right there, for those four men, Bound for Glory, that's pretty special.
But it gets even higher than that, or even more special than that. Not only is it a four-way, it's an Ultimate X match.
Jeff Hardy wanted to do something he's never done before. That's Ultimate X. So now we got Hardy, Manic, Sabin, and Aries in an Ultimate X match for the title at the Bound for Glory. That's kind of awesome.
That is kind of awesome. I would actually be very, very curious to see how Jeff Hardy handles an Ultimate X match. Very curious indeed.
By the way, sorry, Kenny King. Like, everyone out there got in the match except for you.
Well, you know, he was bleeding on the floor. He needed a break.
They're holding the black man down, just saying.
Yeah. After this, we get Hogan and Sting backstage. They're talking. Basically, they take a lot of shots at Eric Bischoff and, you know, innuendo it's WCW. Hogan says that Dixie's getting even worse than Bischoff ever did. Sting basically tells Hogan he's got his back. And then, well, Dixie Carter sends a little gift to Hogan.
He sent him a nice little gift. He thought it was a coffin at first. It was small. Hawk wasn't a coffin. But inside, it was a watch. And it was sort of the same watch Sting got last year when he went into the Hall of Fame. So it's like, is this a retirement gift or just a nice little gesture from one Dixie Carter? Makes you question. And Hogan pointed out she's worse than Bischoff because Bischoff never gave him anything.
Exactly. So at least he got a nice watch out of the deal.
Yeah, except for millions of dollars, world title reigns, and, you know, television shows, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, he can't count the millions of dollars because Linda got those.
Yeah, Linda did take half. That is true.
So, anyway, after this, we go to a recap of last week between Ego and Magnus. Then we see last week Magnus and Sting had a little talk backstage. Magnus is sick of what's going on. He's going to Hogan, and he wants Ego. He wants all three of them, and he wants them tonight on Impact, and although he says next week is technically tonight. And he says that he's going to make all three of them pay, which leads to a gauntlet match between Bobby Roode, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian taking on Magnus. This was a really good match.
This was a really good series of matches they had. Magnus said he wanted to do it on his own as well, so no help from the main event mafia. It started off with Magnus and Daniels, which is a really good, solid match between the two. Daniels was impressive, but Magnus was able to pick up the victory in that first fall. Then out came Kazarian, and that's where the matchup sort of changed a little bit. And we saw some knee injuries flare up from Magnus, where he injured it last week, and it sort of started to catch up to him on this one. But he was able to fight through the pain, and Kazarian was tapped out to the Kingsbury Cloverleaf, or something like that, to that effect?
I believe so, yeah.
Alright, so there's those two matches. So out came Bobby Roode, and I mentioned the knee injury. Kazarian clipped Magnus from behind, taking out the leg. And that, in this one, was a huge, huge factor.
And before you go on, I'm going to stop you right there and say thank you to the Impact cameraman, and thank you to Bobby Roode for slowly taking off your jacket tonight. That was incredibly hot. Thank you for that. Anyway, continue.
He was all oil. Anyway, moving along, he says, this was, again, really good stuff. You saw him work over the knee time and time again. Magnus fought back, continued to fight back. He was able at one point to get into Kingsbury. Cloverleaf locked in on Roode, but Roode hit him in the knee, once again damaging that area. He locked in a crossface. Magnus was able to get out of it, or almost got to the ropes. He let go, and then he locked in an ankle lock, of all things, making Magnus finally tap out in the center of the ring. So Bobby Roode wins it for Ego in the gauntlet. I was very curious to see him use the ankle lock, of all things. Could that be a foreshadowing of some sort for down the line?
Well, you know, they did... Interception Utah. All right. They did... You know, we're hyping the fact that Kurt Angle is coming back for his Hall of Fame induction at Bound for Glory, so will he come back and be a part of the Mafia, or will he come back and be a part of Ego? Will he have a change of heart?
We will have to see. So yeah, this was really good stuff. They gave all three matches some time, especially the last two got a lot of time. Yeah, good stuff. And you see the frustrations after the match build from Magnus, where he just, you know, is upset, distraught about what happened.
Absolutely. And, well, He starts throwing chairs, he starts having a tantrum, and, well, somebody comes out to calm him down. There's no fanfare, but Sting walks out, tells Magnus, you know, hey, let's go backstage, you can cool down, and then we'll talk about this. Magnus doesn't want to go, and, well, basically the two hash it out in the middle of the ring where Magnus doesn't believe. You know, it's like everybody sees it but him, that he's the future, and he just doesn't see it because, well, all the people that, you know, were the future, they had a start. They had somebody to make them. And so who's going to make him?
Well, let's take a listen, shall we?
We shall.
No. You see it in me. Kurt sees it in me. Joe sees it in me. But I don't have it in me. When the chance was given to you, to Kurt, to Joe, you took it. All I can do is get this close.
You know, you just got to look at things differently. I keep trying to tell you, don't look at all the bad stuff. The little, you got knocked down a couple of times here and there. But you know what? You got back up every single time.
I don't need another pep talk, please. You know what I know. You're either in or you're out. This is a results-driven business. And I'm just not getting the results.
Yeah, it is a results-driven business. I know. I was you at one time. I needed to have results at one time, too. I needed to have that one big match to put me on the map, and I didn't get it by throwing a tantrum. I reached out and grabbed it, and Ric Flair gave me that chance.
Yeah, you know about Ric Flair because I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it with my own eyes, and I studied it over and over again because I studied you. I looked up to you from my first day in the business. I came one win away from the main event of the biggest show of the year. Now nothing. Flair put you on the map. Who's gonna put me on the map?
Me! Me! At Bound for Glory!
Sting just said... Sting and Magnus had Bound for Glory. Really?
It's the last thing I ever expected.
Yeah, me too. Wow.
You heard in the voice when Sting said me, and then he went, "Did I just really say that?"
Yeah.
Like he sort of second guessed himself by saying me at that point. But yeah, this was intense, fiery. Just the perfect setup for this. Magnus wants to be a star, and well, Sting is the icon, so it only makes sense for an icon to make the future of the business.
Absolutely, to pass that torch from one generation to the next. And this was a fantastic promo. Well done to Magnus. Well done to Sting. Great way to set this match up. And honestly, you really didn't see it coming. And it just shows that maybe there's more trouble in the Main Event Mafia than we thought. Because now Sting is in a very situation where he's going to have to fight one of his own family.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Bully Ray did.
Just like Bully.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they're not so different after all. Except Bully's got a chick.
Bully has a hot chick and Magnus, well, doesn't on TV.
No, he doesn't on TV. But after this, we get a backstage segment between Austin Aries and Hulk Hogan, which was tremendous. Basically, Austin comes in, and he gives Hogan some vegan vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically tells him, you know, maybe you need to say some extra prayers and, you know, take your vegan vitamins, and that will help you with your decision tonight. And he says, you know, look, I know we don't see eye to eye. We have a love-hate relationship. We don't get along with each other, but... he's grateful for the opportunity that Hogan gave him with option C, and he will always remember that, which is a nice thing to say. Then Austin goes on, you know, and says there are two Hulk Hogans. There's the red and black real American, and then there's the black and white Hollywood made Hulk Hogan, and this decision is really very black and white.
Yeah, it was an interesting promo. He gave him a little pep talk of advice. The vegan vitamins made me chuckle.
I know. It was so great.
So, yeah, good stuff right there.
After this, sorry, I just took a drink of water. After this, we get Chris Sabin backstage, you know, and they're asking him, well, why aren't you going to go out with Velvet Sky? You know, she's got a match next. You know, she went out with you. He says, oh, she's going to be fun on her own. He needs to focus on this match at Bound for Glory. And, he's got to go work out. He's got to go do his yoga. And then he's going to go meditate on what he needs to do. And he's also going to drink his diet soda.
Mm-hmm.
But Velvet's going to be fine. You know, she's got this. So, you know, she's good.
She's got this handled.
This is actually a really entertaining promo from Satan.
It was.
And then we get the segment of the night.
Which we sadly don't have audio for.
I know, and I'm so crying. There is no way to recap this without just saying it was Ego. They were celebrating Bobby Roode's victory over Magnus. They were singing Bobby's theme song, all three of them. It was hilarious.
Lindsay, it was off the chain.
It was completely off the chain. Well, that was going to be the pun for the end. Thank you for ruining it. So, anyway, it was off the chain. And then, well, you know, as they're touting their accomplishments and puffing up their egos, they announce, you know, Daniels and Kazarian announce that, you know, well, they heard a secret. They heard a rumor about Bobby, and he's like, what, tell me, well, should we tell him, and they announce that Bobby Roode is going into the Hall of Fame. Bobby is beside himself, but it's not the TNA Hall of Fame, it's the most prestigious Hall of Fame in all of wrestling, the Extraordinary Gentlemen's Organization Hall of Fame, which will be breaking ground in Yucca, California shortly. To which Bobby goes, I love that town!
He loves that town.
And then they start singing Bobby's theme song again and talking about that, you know, Bobby needs to dress to the tens because, you know, he can totally do the nines. Anybody can do the nines, but Bobby Roode, he's going to do the tens.
Oh, he's going to totally step it up. You know, he can do nine and a half, but don't for this. You got to do tens.
And they're going to do this, I think, next week.
Mm-hmm. Next week, they're going to have the celebration.
This is going to be amazing.
Like I said, foreshadowing some things. Hall of Fame, ankle lock. Just throwing that one out there before anyone else does.
Yeah. Hashtag conspiracy, hashtag rock exclusive.
Exactly.
So after this, we get Velvet Sky and Brooke Tessmacher in a match, but, well, you know, it never took place. Because, well, Lady Tapa returned to Impact looking mean as ever, and she attacked Velvet Sky before the opening bell and laid her out.
Yeah, this is my one complaint of the show. It has nothing to do with what actually happened. It seemed Velvet didn't come to wrestle two tapings.
You noticed that too!
I noticed that too, and it was not just here, but we'll get to the other one in a minute. But yeah, it just seemed like she wasn't geared up for this show.
No, she came out, she didn't have her normal gear, she basically came out in a Impact Wrestling shirt and some leggings with some boots that she probably borrowed from somebody. She didn't have any elbow pads, she didn't have any knee pads, none of her normal gear, so I'm not sure if she's getting new gear made, or she didn't bring her gear with her, or what happened. But
something wasn't right, but yeah. She came out and laid it top kicked her ass for a minute. It's the best way to put it.
She's mean looking.
She's a mean, mean woman. She is the daughter, I think, of the Barbarian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome hair, though. Love the hair. She mean looking. But yeah, my one complaint with Lady Top is this. It is really hard to look badass in a dress. I'm sorry. Or whatever that skirt thing is. Mm-hmm. Train. I don't know what it is, but it's really hard to look badass in it. So, you know, maybe new gear.
Maybe, kind of.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, it was like she came out and it's like, well, she's got the mean face going, but the gear, not so much.
It's a work in progress.
Work in progress. But yes, yeah, so she's back, and she made an impact on One Velvet Sky. And we should note, Brooke Tessmacher scurried off.
Yeah, she's like, you could deal with this.
Yeah. Go for it. Have fun with it. And I actually also had a problem, not to complain too much, but I had a problem with them saying that Brooke Tessmacher is actually a member of Aces and Eights. She's not a member of Aces and Eights. She's Bully's girl. That doesn't make you a member.
Well, right now they can use all the members they can get, so, you know.
Well, it's pretty much Aces and Eights is Taz and Bully, and that's it. Unless we see... Because we didn't
see any of them tonight.
No, we didn't see the remaining two, so they were probably taking care of poor Wes, because he had to keep reminding us of that. Poor Wes. Get well soon. I miss you. Come back.
I got nothing to add to that.
Anyway, moving on to the main event match of the evening.
Hold on. Before that, did you know Ethan is coming?
I'm just going to glance over that. I don't want to talk about it.
Ethan is coming.
I don't even know what to make of that. Like, just seriously, don't.
But he's coming.
I'm sure he is. Can we move on now?
Yes, Ethan is coming, and now we move on to the next match.
Samoa Joe taking on Bully Ray.
This is where... We saw Velvet Sky where she wasn't really dressed to fight. Joe seemed to not have his normal gear either. He seemed off. He was in a shirt and black, you know, short type things. Well, it didn't seem like his normal gear, so it's something maybe happened to the luggage. I don't know. It just seemed very odd.
It did.
And his
hair, he didn't work last week, did he?
No, he didn't work last week. And his hair seemed odd. He's grown his hair out again. Looks odd.
Only you would notice that.
I would. It's just, you know, his hair's usually a buzz. He had some growth to his hair.
Well, you know, he's trying to get the whole mafia look going. I don't know.
Just, yeah, anyway. Good match, though.
My one complaint about this match is they sort of telegraphed the ending. The announcers did, that the ending was coming. By saying, you know, and up next, we've got Hulk Hogan's decision, you know, right after this, you know, pretty much like 2 seconds before the finish happened. So it made the finish, at least for me, feel a little bit awkward. And I don't know, maybe it just felt awkward in general.
It was an awkward finish. Bully used the chain, Earl Hebner saw it, which caused the disqualification. So Joe beats Bully by DQ. Post-match, Bully Ray shoved down at Earl Hebner. And tossed the mojo to the floor, ripped up the padding, and told Taz, I'm going to hit him with a pile driver. I'm going to hit him with the pile driver. Well, before he could actually hit the pile driver, the one and only AJ Styles, who was supposed to be gone, came through the crowd and broke it up, and security, you know, chased after AJ, and AJ broke them up, the security broke him up, AJ ran through the crowd and celebrated with some fans.
Which was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. So, more continuation going on. This is where I'm going to read some tweets. I know it's early, kind of, well, for the segment. AJ Styles says, I was going to leave, and then I realized that I forgot to give @RealBullyRay 5150-something. So there you go. He came back. And we'll have one more tweet from Bully Ray after what we get through next.
Sweet. And now... Now we go to Hulk Hogan's decision, and we do have audio for this, yes?
We do have audio.
I know that a lot of you are not happy with some of the decisions I've made lately. You know, and I've heard it for months now. But I tell you what, it's people like me that understand why people like you simply have no concept whatsoever of business and the complexities of it. I mean, really, I can't be upset at you guys for that. I mean, bless your hearts. You simply don't know any different. You're just reacting. I get that. But you know what? Someone who does know a little something about business, Hulk Hogan, we have some business in the ring now. And if you'd come out here and join me in our ring, let's take care of this, please.
Gotta tell you, I got that Southern Belle off TNA president Dixie Carter. I think she's got Hogan sold here, bro. I'm telling you.
Well, when it comes to the decision of this man, General Manager Hulk Hogan, everyone, including my broadcast partner, Taz, has their opinions about what Hulk is going to do. But Taz, only one opinion really counts. Only one opinion really matters, and that's Hulk Hogan.
I know that. Get off the soapbox, number one. Number two, let's realize something here, Mike, today. What other option does Hulk have? Dixie's the boss. Hulk's the general manager. He's got to fall in line. It's great to be part of Team Dixie. He's going to do what I'm telling you.
Hulk, thank you so much. I know what an amazing career that you've had. I really do. But like I said last week, I want to know, are you ready to take your career to another level? Because if you are, then I'm the one to do it for you. Okay? And that watch you're wearing, which I am tickled to death to see that you have on. Thank you. A little something I picked you up at Tiffany's. Well, you know what? It's just a gesture. It's a token of all that could happen between us. But you, I gotta know, are you ready to take a ride on the Dixie train? Huh? Or are you gonna force me to make a decision that I know you're gonna regret? What is it?
Well, Dixie, if you put it that way, well, first off, thank you for the watch. I really appreciate the watch.
I'm so glad you like it. Great.
I've never had anything quite like this before.
Good.
Your offer, wow. You know, I've thought about everything I've done in my career. The 35 years that I've put in, I mean, I've always dreamed about being a power couple in this business, having a beautiful woman like you that has more power than anybody in this business. At the end of the day, with an offer like that, Dixie Carter and Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
it's amazing how high we could get.
I like that.
But.
No buts.
At the end of the day,
uh-huh,
it's an amazing offer,
mm-hmm,
for somebody else. Not me, because I quit.
What? What?
At this point, Dixie is literally holding on to Hulk Hogan's leg.
Uh-huh, he's dragging him up the line.
Let go, Dixie.
You can't quit. You're fired. I fired you. I don't need you. I didn't need you anyway.
And just to make it official, she fired him on Twitter, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was a great close to the show. I love Hill Dixie. I was really hesitant at first, but I love Hill Dixie. She's kind of awesome.
Heel Dixie is working fine. And I mentioned in another tweet, this one's from Bully Ray. Got my belt, got my girl, I'm the champ. Hulk Hogan is gone. What a great night. Not sweating AJ Styles at all. Hashtag Bully Nation.
Well, he's on top of the world. But yeah, this show was way better leaps and bounds than last week.
Mm-hmm. Leaps and bounds, we got a nice... We're gearing up for Bound for Glory, and they set the stage for, you know, the high-profile matches. We got Magnus and Sting, the Ultimate X, the world title match. Yeah, we've got a nice mix of matches getting geared up for Bound for Glory, and this was a nice show to set it up.
It was. It really was. So looking forward to the event as it grows, because it's stacking up to be a really good show.
They got 2 weeks left. They got to sell the rest of the show, so we'll see what they can come up with.
We will. But on that note, we are going to take our final break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to do news. We're going to do Tweet of the Week. We're going to do the official Battleground picks for Kane Kittens. And we'll be talking all about our question of the night. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various coworkers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine,
the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you for us by your friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I'd also like to give a big shout out to our other sponsors, PWMania.com for bringing us the news, and of course, TNA Asylum for sponsoring our Impact segment. I'm sorry I forgot to give you your shout outs earlier. It's been a busy show.
We're jam packed full of stuff, and we still have some things to get into.
We do, but before we do all that, we're going to have a little fun, because, you know, we need a little break. Let's do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
By the way, Tweet of the Week is sponsored by hashtag Will for 300. Tune in to CB Radio 300 episode this Saturday, midnight-ish. Use the hashtag Will for 300.
Yes, so do you want me to go to first, or do you want to go first?
You can go first, because I probably have some of the same as you.
Yeah, probably. So, let's see. I'm trying to remember where I left off from last show. Okay, here we go. So, we have the first one. We actually have several from Bray Wyatt. He's been very active this week on Twitter. Thank you. The first tweet is home sweet home, hashtag New Orleans, and there's a picture to go with it.
I was wondering how you're going to work that into the show.
I favorited it for Tweet of the Week. And it's, for those of you listening in the archive, you can go to at WWE Bray Wyatt with two T's, not three, because there's a Bowser account. And you can see the picture. It's actually a very normal picture of a very ramshackled house and a very little Bray Wyatt in front of it.
Uh-huh.
Like, literally, he just got out of the car, he ran in front of the house, and he said, "Somebody take the damn picture." That's
pretty much how it went.
Yeah. Pretty much probably how it went. Moving on, we have Team Bray Wyatt, which responded to that by saying that might be the most normal tweet you've ever sent. Scott M. Fishman, at Bray Wyatt is such an enigma. He is so good you can't look away. Hashtag WWE, hashtag Raw, hashtag follow the buzzards. Then we have Caitlin. I wish I could be a fly on the wall at Heath and Jinder's bedazzling parties. You know what they say, if you mess with the bull, you get to put shame with super sick flips and tricks. Or I'm sorry, you get put to shame with super sick flips and tricks. Sorry, I can read, I swear. Heyman is clearly on the rebound. The best way to get over somebody is to get super weird with Ryback.
Is that it?
No. I'm just taking a pause for laughter. I have a lot this week.
Awesome.
Langdon Algier, I hope you said your name right, at Keep It 5 Star. CM Punk just had a Peter Griffin moment with his knee. The United States, at United States. Control-Alt-Delete. Frankie Kazarian. Somebody tweeted him, "Kazarian, you suck, LOL." To which he responds, "Well, damn it, you got me. I can't possibly retort to your very clever and original insult. Kudos." Bray Wyatt again. Hashtag Battleground begins the revolution. No quarter given. The first will fall. Hashtag down with the machine. More Bray Wyatt. Somebody asked him, you know, well, wasn't Kane the first to fall? To which he replies, Kane didn't fall. He was chosen. Rebirth. Effing tease. And again from Bray Wyatt. Somebody tweeted him, to which I have to get the full conversation. Somebody tweeted him, "Everything you say is BS. There will be no revolution." To which he replies, "People like you are the problem with this world. Enjoy mediocrity while I change the color of the sky." I hope it's pink.
No, I hope it's green.
And lastly, Dave Lagana. "Hey, at Official Taz, I use the at Joseph Park ESQ fitness app. You get points when you get off the couch to get a tang." And I'm done.
All right, Joseph Park goes, "We won, we won. Wow, what a great feeling. Me and Showtime, EY, are really starting to get it to gel as a team. What a great friend and scientist." Not Bill Walton. "Chris Brown is offering Kanye West advice on how to deal with the media." That's Dwight Howard teaching Rajon Rondo how to hit free throws.
Nice.
Not SportsCenter MLB. "If Indians, Rays, and Rangers end regular season tied, wild cards will be determined by a triple threat cage match on Raw tomorrow night."
Yes!
Lance Storm. "Legit advice that was given by a WWE road agent when I was asked if he had any ideas for a finish. I was thinking maybe something with a 1-2-3.
How insightful.
Uh-huh. Not Bill Walton. "I am highly disappointed in the Lane Kiffin firing. What a travesty. He deserved more time, basically because I loved watching USC lose." Big E, Caitlin. Caitlin goes, "Big E just went beast mode on Punk. I guess even beasts need their rest. Hashtag go to sleep." Another one from Caitlin. "This is the perfect time to turn on the giant Fandango sign and just really mess up the Wyatt's game plan." From Christopher Daniels. "Happy 30th birthday to my hair consultant at Robbie E. Impact. In bro man numerals, that's XXX. Please shower him with gifts of hair chutney." And finally, this is a long one because this is a conversation. It starts with Christopher Daniels. "Unfortunately for Magnus Official, our appearance will ultimately lead to his disappearance. Hashtag Impact Live. Hashtag Ego." Magnus replies, "The only thing that disappears when you're on the screen is the female demographic. Ask Curly and Moe for some tips." Daniels replies, "If you're going to insult the Three Stooges in style, at least keep the latch straight. It would have been much funnier calling me Curly." Daniels continues, "Despite having the straightest teeth Britain's ever produced, you'll find you've still bitten off more than you can chew." Magnus replies, "We shall see. In the meantime, I've packed flaws for when I get bits of you stuck between my teeth." Daniels replies, "Wait, did you just threaten to bite me? That's not cricket, did old bean, and certainly not how a gentleman conducts himself." Magnus replies, "It was a retort to your bin off more than you can chew tweet, but I know you're nervous, so I appreciate you can't keep up." Christopher Daniels, "No, I got the retort. I just figured you for a more clever response. Not the first time you've disappointed." Magnus, "Just make sure you peruse the menu at Ches Magnus for tonight. I recommend the Magnus Driver and King Lynn Cloverleaf. Delish." So it's King Lynn. That's how, not Kingsley, King's Lynn. And Daniel's good, "Finally, I must politely decline, as most British food, akin to British company, sets my stomach a-chum. Good day to you, sir." And there's Tweet of the Week, brought to you by hashtag Will for 300.
Yes, hashtag Will for 300, hashtag CBRadio300 this Saturday.
Yes, midnight-ish right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
So now we're going to move into the mini news segment of the week, because we did actually have some news that broke.
A little bit.
And one of the things, kind of to tie it back into Impact a little bit, is that Hulk Hogan quit. Which means that, well, something's going on with Hogan, and you guessed it, Hogan's contract has officially expired with TNA, and there is no indication he's going to re-sign with them, so it seems Hogan is done.
Yeah, he seems to be done with TNA. He may come back. It's all about the money, as it usually is, but as we talked to Brian, WrestleMania 30 sounds a lot more intriguing than another year with TNA.
It really does, and plus, you know, conveniently, Hogan is now being featured on WWE.com right after his contract expires.
It's amazing how that happens.
Kind of amazing how that happens. Another TNA note real quickly, Anderson put out a tweet that he expects to re-sign within the week, so it seems he is attempting to come back. So, here's to hoping he does. It seems that he realizes the door to WWE is shut for good.
Yeah, and it's not a big surprise that he was going to make his return, as we've been talking about for weeks here on the show, that he would probably come back at some point. He will be taking more independent dates, but it looks like, you know, by all accounts, he could be headed back to Impact Wrestling here in the next few weeks.
And what will that have to do with the Aces and Eights? We'll just have to see.
Just have to wait and see.
But speaking of waiting and see, we brought it up in the, I believe, the Brian Shields interview. And he's been mentioned a lot tonight because, you know, I'm obsessed with him. Bray Wyatt. And, well, Bray Wyatt got paid a very nice compliment this week.
Yeah, he was featured in an article on Forbes.com, I believe.
Yes, he had a very, very, very nice article written about him on Forbes.com. He's got it out on his Twitter where he retweeted the link, so go check it out. It's a very interesting read where basically Forbes basically calls him money.
Mm-hmm.
That he's doing everything right and he's money and they need to do something with him. And that's a huge compliment coming from Forbes, and I'm sure WWE took notice of that. Unless they knew the article was coming. I have no idea if they did or they didn't. But it was a very nice article written about him. It's a very interesting read because it sort of breaks down the Bray Wyatt character. And they said a lot of the similar things that Brian did in our interview earlier, which if you're listening, if you missed it and you just came in, go check out our interview with Brian Shields. We talk about a numerous number of things, including his event this Sunday in Farmingdale, New York. So go check that out. Long Island, New York. Sorry. But yeah, very interesting article. Good read. Definitely worth the read. And so yeah, good for him.
It's good exposure for the Bray Wyatt character that we've been all anticipating that would happen. And good to see outside sources seeing the potential in the character. And like she said, it's all about the money. And Bray Wyatt could be money.
Yeah. If you have people noticing that are outside the business, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to do a formal write-up on him and to put that on their website and publicize that on their website, that's a pretty cool thing to see. So, yeah. So, congratulations to Bray Wyatt. Well done. Congratulations, WWE. And now, speaking of congratulations, because, you know, somebody was right.
Yes.
WWE announced this week that the payoff for their teaser campaign is not an Undertaker returned. As I stated last week, it would be. Thank you very much. That it is, in fact, has to do with a brand new series of figures. They are working with, I believe his name is it Tom McFarland?
Mm-hmm.
Tom McFarland. To make a limited number of figures that are going to be titled WWE Icon. It's going to be an entire series. And each statue, just to give you the idea of what each statue is going to be, because they're not figures, they're statues, actually. Each statue will be hand-painted, and the plan is for the statues to feature current and classic WWE talent, so WWE legends will be included. Some of the statues will be limited in their production run, and there will also be additions signed by the WWE talents. Taker is the first one to get the nod, and it is going to be limited to a total of 850 pieces. It stands 17.5 inches tall, and in the base, it has LED spotlights that sort of highlight the figure, which is actually pretty cool. And then they have a plaque listing Taker's accomplishments throughout his career. But what's interesting is, gee, that first picture that went out, that first one that, you know, I was sitting here saying, oh, gee, it looks like a ring skirt. To which I got, why would they use a ring skirt? I don't know. Well, each statue will feature a piece of the actual ring skirt used from the February 1999 Undertaker vs. Kane Inferno match. The statue will be hand-numbered with a signed certificate of authenticity. The only bummer about this statue is that it's going to retail for $295.
And his name was Todd McFarlane, not Tom, my bad.
Todd McFarlane.
Todd
I
McFarlane.
Do apologize. Yeah. Todd McFarlane.
$300,
actually over $300 with shipping. And for those of you interested, for those of you that have the money, it will be released in December. And if you haven't seen the pictures, they're all over WWE.com. They're all on news sites. I don't know, can we throw one up on the technology screen?
Yeah,
do we have one?
Give me 1 second now. One will be up on the technology screen.
So just, you know, pay attention to the technology screen if you're live, because you'll see a picture of it here shortly.
Right now, it's on there.
And no, King Kittens, you do not get a lounging McRib at his feet.
No, McRib is not featured. He has hair in this one.
He does have hair. They actually went for Classic Taker. They did not go for Mohawk Taker. Thank you for that. The Taker fans, thank you for that.
And it comes with an urn, too, on the statue, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they do a nice nod to Paul Bearer by putting the urn there, so that's very cool. It's actually a really nice figure, mm-hmm. which I would expect for $295, but he's making an ugly face in it.
by the way, this news article brought to you by Crash Collision Wrestling. Check out Crash Collision Wrestling and Wrestling Figure Wednesday on YouTube.com/MBG1211.
Yes. So definitely check that out. And yes, I know you wanted Baby White Taker. Corner.
And yes, that was for Matt Goldberg. A little shout out because, well, we had to kill the wrestling figure news segment this week because, well, we went long with Brian Shields.
Well, it's technically wrestling figure news.
That's what I mean. We slid this in, and that was this plug.
Yeah. Yeah, so sorry, we will talk about it next week, but we had a jam-packed show this week, so we were not able to fit it in. And so, by the way, if anybody has $300 and you would like to get this for me, I would greatly appreciate it, because I don't have $300, but...
If you'd like to buy this for Lindsay, send us an email, contact@rockradioshow.com, or just buy a lot of t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/rockradioshow.
Exactly. Because we now have an official shirt, too.
We have an official shirt. Buy the shirt. We don't ask much. Buy the shirt.
Buy the shirt, yes. And go to the sponsors and click the Google ads. I think that's everything. Okay. So, moving on from the news where I was, you know, totally right on that last story, just saying. And I got him to admit he was wrong off air, too.
Yeah, you're trying so hard tonight, and it's not happening.
Oh, I know you're not going to admit it on air, but I got you to do it off air, and that's all that matters. Best moment ever. We are going to do the official Battleground Pick'em. We talked a little bit with Brian Shields about this. So we're going to go through Battleground relatively quickly. We've already talked about Orton. We've already talked about Punk.
We hit the major matches going into the show, so we'll... We'll give you our picks and the quick thoughts on each match. Send picks to media at wildtalkradio.com, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. You have until Sunday at 5 p.m. to get your picks in.
And we have no prize, so it's bragging rights again this week.
Bragging rights. We'll get a prize here at some point, but bragging rights this week. So send them twitter.com/wildtalkradio, immediate@wildtalkradio.com, or post on Facebook, and we'll get your answers that way as well. So let's start with the kickoff, Lindsay.
Let's start with the kickoff. We get Curtis Axel taking on R-Truth.
No. I said the kickoff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing. Dolph Ziggler versus Damian Sandow.
I said kickoff. I know. WWE.com has it listed really weird.
They have it wrong.
They have it wrong. Even though it's a kickoff. Anyway, Ziggler and Damian Sandow. This match came out, well, out of nowhere, like an RKO. I don't know.
It's the battle of the losers. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. It's,
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. I'm, you know, honestly, I'm gonna go with Ziggler. I think they've gotta give him one on this one. Plus, you know, you can always redeem Damian by having him cash in the money in the bank, and damn, Utah cannot catch the ball to save their lives.
Yeah, let's go with Ziggler. I'll agree. Let's go Ziggler. But yeah, Ziggler takes the win.
Yeah.
Get the babyface a win on the pre-show.
So now we move on to Curtis Axel and R-Truth for the Intercontinental Championship.
Axel retains. I can't see them putting the belt on R-Truth.
Not just yet. I'm sorry. No, it's gonna be Curtis. It's gotta be.
It's gotta be Curtis. Doesn't have the same ring as it's gotta be Kane.
No, it doesn't. But I can honestly, you know, Paul Heyman basically interferes and helps Curtis Axel retain. So.
But it's quite possible that is the direction we're gonna go on that one. Before you announce the next match, I'm going to say this.
Spoiler alert!
This match is not officially announced, but it's going to happen at the pay-per-view, most likely in some form or fashion. So we'll pick it like this. Bray Wyatt versus Kofi Kingston.
Well, he pretty much said the match is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
On his Twitter. I mean, good God.
But it's not Friday yet, so...
Well, no, he said it on Twitter.
Okay.
The first falls of Battleground, so he's screwing with Kofi. So yeah, the first person he's going after, conveniently, one of the people that stood up to the corporation, is Kofi Kingston. I gotta go with Bray.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
I mean, I think they're gonna go out there. I think Bray's gonna beat him, and the Wyatt family is just gonna absolutely destroy him.
I wouldn't be surprised if we get some more shenanigans involved in this one. Which the Usos may be making a save. Just throwing that one out there.
Trying to make a save.
But, you know, maybe we'll see some Usos involved. Anyway.
Oh, that was totally a touchdown. Sorry. I'm watching the Utah-UCLA game, and it's a really good game. It's really close. Oh, no, that wasn't a touchdown. He was already out of bounds. Never mind.
Divas Championship, AJ versus Brie. This one's, there's just there's scenarios that roam through your head. Is it time? Is it finally time to take the belt off of,
AJ? I'm going to say no. And the reason why I say no is because Brie is going to play a bigger factor in Daniel Bryan's storyline. And it only complicates things for her if she has the Divas Championship. I think AJ retains through the help of Tamina.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Brie's getting the belt, just not this month or this pay-per-view.
Yeah, plus you've got Eve Marie at ringside, so she could very easily screw Brie Bella. Because we know, well, thanks to the reality show, the Bellas don't really like Eve Marie.
This is true. So, yeah, I'm in agreement. AJ retains... I think there's a moment coming where people have belts together, but I don't think it's this show.
No, I don't think it's going to be this show. I think it's going to be later on down the road for her a little bit. Possibly, I can see them giving it to her at a more major pay-per-view, like Survivor Series. This is, especially since we're probably going to get a rematch in 3 weeks mm-hmm. at Hell in a Cell. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me right now to take the belt off her. It would be easier to do it either at Hell in a Cell or at Survivor Series than, you know, basically to have her turn around and defend it against AJ 3 weeks later.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Plus, there's also the chance that Brie isn't the one to get it, and it may be that Natty gets the shot next, or one of the other Total Divas gets it. So, it's just, it's kind of dependent.
It is.
But after this, we are going to move on to Cody Rhodes and Goldust taking on the WWE Tag Team Champions Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, where Dusty Rhodes will be in his son's corners. There is no mention of Dean Ambrose, whether he will be out there or not.
According to Triple H, he will be, because that was what he said in the WWE.com interview he did.
Okay, so Dean Ambrose will be in the corner of the Shield, so expect shenanigans, massive shenanigans.
Bionic elbow, called it earlier, gonna happen. Flapping elbow, Dean Ambrose is going to go flying. Like he's funky.
And he'll
like
do it so well.
Like he's funky like a monkey. Because he's the American dream, baby.
And there's nothing wrong with that, and I look forward to seeing it. But yeah, who do you have in this match?
I don't know. I guess logic tells me Cody Rhodes and Goldust. I don't know, I think it's too early to cool this off a little bit. Dusty cost them the match. Seth and Roman win by disqualification. Dusty interferes and costs them the match.
I can see that.
So that's my pick.
I'm going to go the opposite side. I'm going to say the Rhodes win. And the only reason I say that is because of the stipulation of they'll never be allowed in WWE again. Mm-hmm. And also Dusty's going to lose his job. So basically all three of them will never be allowed back in WWE again. So I can see it where they win, but there's some kind of shenanigans that allow them to win that's not clean. And that's where the linchpin for it is.
Mm-hmm.
That could potentially lead to another match, either for Cody and Goldust, or Cody and Goldust individually, where they have to prove themselves individually to get the match. Because, like, well, you know, yeah, you won, and, you know, we promised we'd give you your jobs back, but, well, you know, wasn't 100% clean, and we just have some doubts. And so, you know, in the interest of fairness, determine what, you know, and because it's best for business, double points for double catchphrase, we're going to have you prove yourselves, you know, individually at Hell in a Cell against Shield.
You lost a half a point because you didn't hashtag it.
Hashtag.
Too late.
Well, I used quotation marks, so there.
All right, you only lost a quarter of a point then.
Fine. Fair enough. But, yeah, that's honestly what I can see happening, so I'm going to go with the Rhodes on this one.
All right, Punk and Ryback. I think it's clear that it's going to be, I don't know, Ryback?
This is going to be painful. This is going to hurt. And King Kitten's bugged our call again. It's going to be Ryback.
Yeah,
they have to give him a win on pay-per-view, and getting a win against CM Punk on pay-per-view is going to do more for him than anything else. Mm-hmm. Punk can take the loss, plus it continues the storyline with Heyman, where Punk is going to get distracted by Heyman, and that's going to be his Achilles heel throughout this entire story, as it has been, is that he keeps trying to get to Heyman. He's so blinded by his hate for Heyman that he's not performing at his top level, and he's not keeping his eye on the ball. And because of that, he's costing himself matches.
Right.
So, and costing himself a feud. So I can honestly see Ryback. And you bugged the call, King Kittens, because we were talking last night about Randy getting himself a girl and the possibility of JoJo getting involved in the feud because she's Randy Orton's real-life girlfriend and how we didn't potentially see her like that, and that you could easily stick Eve Marie with Orton and she would work with him. And plus, it would be great drama for Total Divas.
Totally would. We're going right back.
Yeah, I'm going right back.
Yeah. Same here. World title. Alberto Del Rio, RVD, hardcore rules.
RVD's due for a break, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I'm going to just throw it out there because I'm just throwing it out there. RVD wins. He's the World Heavyweight Champion.
And loses it when?
Within 30 seconds to Damian Sandow.
Knew that was coming.
Well, I threw that out there Sunday, so I'm kind of liking that idea. Sandow wins is the World Heavyweight Champion. Coming out of Battleground, I don't know how long hold it, but Del Rio's not working for me, and I think this is what I want to see happen. I want to see Sandow with the belt.
I want to see Sandow with the belt too, but I don't think right now is the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to say Del Rio retains. He pulls it out and he beats RVD.
Okay.
And finally, we picked it earlier, but we're just going to reiterate what we picked. Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton in the WWE Championship match. I think we're both calling a draw on this one.
Draw. Gonna lead to Hell in a Cell. I say double pinfall, both shoulders down on the mat. 1, 2, 3. You could do the German suplex spot. You could do a variety of spots. Both men are down. Double pinfall, co-champions, or vacate, or whatever you want to call it. Co-champions, vacated title. Yeah. Draw leads to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I'm just going to say draw. I don't know what the finish is, but I'm going to say draw. I like the idea of the vacated championship. I like, as I said in the interview, I like the idea of basically now Randy can't get the job done. They're questioning whether they really want him to be the face of the WWE. You start having Triple H and Stephanie McMahon potentially exploring their options as far as who they could make the face of the WWE. And so that leads to some tension between Orton and the McMahons. While they're still trying to hold down Daniel Bryan, and it creates a very interesting issue for Survivor Series, where you could even do a traditional Survivor Series match if you build it right. But yeah, I say draw.
So there's our picks for WWE Battleground, the first ever WWE Battleground, this Sunday live on pay-per-view, and we'll plug it in just a bit, but check out some picks to media@wildtalkradio.com, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, or the Facebook page at facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork, or facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork. Hell, even use the Rack Facebook at facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
Yeah, so all that being said, let's go to our question of the night. What match are you most looking forward to at Battleground?
And it seems everyone is looking forward to Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. That was the general consensus of what was submitted. So, Lindsay, what are you looking forward to the most?
I'm actually looking forward to Cody and Goldust versus The Shield.
Yeah, I'm interested. That's a good one, yeah. I would agree. That is the most intriguing match on the show.
I really like the story that they're telling with it. I'm really curious to see how they do it and who wins and who comes out on top. I want to see Brian and Orton too. I think they'll put on a fantastic match. Don't get me wrong. But I really want to see Cody and Goldust take on the Shield more, just because the story that they could tell, I believe, would be absolutely phenomenal.
Hells, and I think it's the first time they've ever teamed up, I think.
Yeah.
So it'll be one of those things where it's a history-making moment, and, you know, should be interesting to see what the outcome turns out to be.
Absolutely. So, on that note, I think we're done.
King Kins is looking forward to Ryder and Fandango with a run-in from Christian.
And his, aww.
And his, you know, favorite part. Anyway, on that note...
Just swinging in the breeze? Or is the Wong doing the Fandango?
You just don't know. Anyway, Cards Against Humanity is Saturday. We'll probably be starting a half hour earlier, so mark your calendars and get your stuff together. Why? Because we're going to probably start closer to midnight of the ish for the 300th episode of the one, the only, your only, excuse me, Home on Saturday Night, CB Radio. It's the 300th episode spectacular. 6:30. I said 9:30. Which is, what, 7:30 your time? 2 hours behind? Or is he 3?
No, I think he's still 2. He's on Arizona time. Oh, it's 6:30 to him. That's right. He's on Arizona time, so he's 3 hours behind.
Yeah, okay. We're starting a half hour earlier. It's only a half hour, dude. Oh, whatever. Anyway, be ready. We're starting early, because we're going to do midnight... ish for the 300th episode of CB Radio. Hashtag Will for 300. CB Radio 300 with a very long intro, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how long it takes me to put it together. It's being migrated together very slowly as I dig through 300 archives of the show. Check out cbradio.ewazone.com for a complete listing of every single show we have ever done for CB Radio. Sunday night, it is WTR Sunday Night Live. I love you. Mason Jones, Tim Side, Mason Omega. For a recap of WWE Battleground, Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll be back right here for the Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, next Thursday night. Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/radio show for the official t-shirt of the Rack. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow CB Radio on Twitter at CB Radio WTR. Like them on Facebook at Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas. Like this show, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Follow...
The Buzzards.
Follow the Buzzards, because I'm on a Plex.
Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter, at Lins Ward, LinsWard. Go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. Check that out. And if you go under the contact section, there is a link to my Redbubble store. I'm not going to give you the full link, because it's really weird, but redbubble.com. Search me out, you'll find me. I've got a selection of my artwork up with more coming up every day. The Sister Abigail piece is now out there and available for sale for anybody that's interesting. And also the Pattern After Mucha piece went up, and that is also for sale, along with my Mucha Lucha Undertaker, my Split Personality Kane, and some other things. So go check that out, please. Buy stuff. Support it. Buy the official Rack t-shirt. Go buy that, please, because, you know, we need monies. Also, go to CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. Check out our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, MemorLanePromo.com, and, of course, TNAAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
And go out and see Brian Shields this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern in Farmingdale, New York, for the History of WWE Lecture.
Yes, it's going to be amazing. Please go support Brian. We'd like to extend a huge thanks to him for coming on the show tonight. It's at MightyPin_sword, I believe.
Yes.
On Twitter, and of course he's Brian Shields on Facebook. So please support him. Go out, go to your fine retailers, Amazon.com, wherever, to pick up the WWE Encyclopedia, because it is completely amazing. We talked to him a few months ago about it and thoroughly enjoyed it. So, and we thoroughly enjoyed having him on again tonight. So thank you again to Brian. Thank you for giving us all these wonderful things, because you're awesome. So, for Rock and for Brian, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. We're going till the world stops turning while we burn it to the ground in the hand.